There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
We are talking netball, a hugely popular sport here in the UAE in school age and above. A ball sport played by two teams of seven players and developed in England from the 1890s. In 1995, it became an internationally recognised Olympic committee sport, but has never been played at the Olympics. And it is most popular in the Commonwealth nations, specifically in schools, where it's played predominantly by women. And according to the INF, netball is played by more than 20 million people in more than 80 countries. Very popular indeed. And we are very lucky to be joined by two of the UAE's leading lights when it comes to the sport. Sarah Donovan's here. She's a UAE Open squad player and head of netball at Dubai College. And Suzanne Skelding joins us, UAE national squad manager and director of netball at RU Active. Hello, ladies. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Hi.
Thank you so much for joining us. It's really great to have you here because, as I said, I'm sure a lot of parents will be on the school run coming up and will know what a huge part netball plays in their daughters' lives here. You know, it is obviously mainly girls that are playing netball here in the region. And it seems to creep in from an early age and then kind of consume. It becomes an obsessive thing. And I was a netball player until I was 18. And it became, and in fact, some of my best friends now, you know, my mid-30s are friends that I made through my netball team. And it's such an inclusive, I loved it. What we're going to be talking about later today is why do girls drop out of netball and sports in general. I think it's quite a common problem that we see children at various ages all the way through just simply choosing to not take part anymore. And why we think netball and other female sports, team sports, aren't getting the media coverage that they deserve. Sarah Donovan, you're part of the UAE team. Congratulations on that.
Thank you very much.
How long have you been in Dubai for?
Coming up to my 10th year now.
Ah, the Dubai decade.
Yes, absolutely.
So you're a teacher, you're head, as we said, of netball down at Dubai College. When did you start playing netball yourself?
I think coming from the UK, it started straight away, primary school. It's the main sport for the females in the UK. Going all the way through from sort of 7-8, building up right the way through college, university, and then to clubs situation outside. So, and it's my first love. I wouldn't play anything else
really
as a first choice. It's in the blood now.
What position did you play at school and what do you play now?
It was goal shooter, and it's goal attack, goal shooter now. It hasn't changed much.
You're tall as well.
The height thing helped, yes.
Yeah, you are tall. What about you, Suzanne? When did you start playing that ball, or when you first aware of it?
The same. Yeah, primary school and all the way through. It's a really big thing in the UK, and it is a really big thing here in all the schools here. Well, in a lot of the schools here, and particularly the expatriate schools. Mm-hmm. And loved it for all those reasons. Just those, do you remember those bits when you got on the minibus and you all went off to an away fixture? And it was just that camaraderie and that family feel. And you touched on that about, you know, being friends and that community. And netball, I think it's quite unique in that respect that it has that. Maybe it's because it's an all-female sport mm-hmm. that it has that kind of feeling. We just love it. And I've played all my life. I've actually never played at a particularly high level. I've always loved it though. And my passion was just to build it and grow it. And that's what I've dedicated my life to.
So you are, as we said, are you active? So what does the company do?
Well, we are solely a netball company. It's a one-stop shop netball. So you've got training is one arm of the business. So that's coached through
Mini.
5 years old. Yeah, they're great fun. And it really is fundamental skills. And it's the basis of every sport. Obviously, it has a massive netball twist, but or netball biased, but yeah, it really is fundamentals of sort of like movement and ball catching skills, and that all the way through to adults playing netball. So back to netball, people who've never played since
said that
school.
Looking at me in quite a
I'm
pointed
looking at
way
you very pointedly, Helen.
very sawny
walking netball, you're
well,
not going to get out
no,
of it.
But walking netball is a big thing in the UK, and that's for people who, you know, have got low fitness levels or have had injuries and want to get back into that sport. And I think that's possibly what's missing from so many people's lives is that team sport feel and tribe. And when you are an expatriate and you find yourself in a country and you're not really sure how to connect with people, team sports is an amazing way of doing that. However, I think it can be quite an intimidating thing to find yourself, I'm going to sign up for a league or I'm going to join a team not really knowing what standard they're going to be and not really remembering. You know, in my mind, I'm like, yeah, I'm 14. I'm a really good player.
Yeah, right.
That's a scary bit, isn't it?
Isn't it?
And we do get that question all the time. It's like, you know, the people say, oh, I'd like to come and join a team. And we're like, okay, what position do you play? What sort of standard? And how do you quantify that standard? Because
no,
if you were in the north of England or the south of England or the middle of England, it's, you know, if you come from the UK or from Australia, everyone's had a real different road and a different route into it. So it's really difficult to gauge. And it's important to have things. It's, you know, Sarah's playing at the top level here for the UAE. It's not all about the top level netball, but what the UAE does, it's a showcase and it's a creating role models for our girls so they stay in sport. It's creating the sport, or like showing the sport to everybody. And actually, we've got a load of parents that have gotten themselves involved in our Back to Netball social netball programs. They don't want to play in a league for 20 weeks of the year. They want to play for one tournament, or they want to play mixed netball, or they want to play for 5 weeks only, and they want to just enjoy it. And I was at social netball last night. Three courts playing, just hoots, giggles, laughs, just camaraderie. I'll play for you. I'll do that. Yeah, I'll put that bib on. That's what netball's all about. It's just a great family.
So let's talk about the UA netball squad, because it's quite unusual in the sense that expatriates can play. How did it come about as a team, Sun?
It's a great question. And the UAE is incredibly forward thinking. We've heard the decree recently about expats being able to represent their country, and this is something that has been going on for the last 4 years, would you believe? It's been 4 years in the making. Wow. Of discussing things with the General Authority of Youth and Sport Welfare, and getting all sorts of people involved, and getting the community involved in it. It's still not a completed thing, you know. There are lots of things to get sorted, to ratify things, but effectively they were very kind to enable us to go forward and represent the UAE and recognise and understand that we don't have any Emirati ladies playing netball at the moment. So, but we can't get them playing if they don't know what it is. It's a bit of a vicious circle.
That is a bit of a catch-22, is, you know, how can you be showcasing the sport and everything that you're achieving without it being in place in the first place? So is that part of the game and part of the aim then to involve and invite more Emirati women to get involved in the sport?
It really is. We first of all started out with a youth project, and that was very much, you know, getting sort of like girls involved, and we wanted to go down the school route, etc. But the country was so impassioned by our story with netball and liked the fact that it was quite unique in as much as it is an all-female sport, that they kind of felt that it worked really well with the empowerment of women and what the country's trying to achieve to get more women playing sport, that they thought it would be a really good vehicle. So they wanted to make it a bit more popular. So whilst our under-17s will undoubtedly have a big following, and there'll be a lot of people watching and tuning in to when they actually end up going to play, the Open Squad was created because it will help us get our world ranking. So that means the UAE will then be, it's not just a new member country with the International Netball Federation, but it will be a country that can get a ranking. And we'll talk about the performance later, but because of our putting ourselves out there and going, and we didn't know what to expect, you know.
Sure.
We really didn't know what to expect, but we've never done that before, and it was lovely to see the girls taking to the challenge and actually rising to the challenge and playing it incredibly well and giving the name of UAE Netball a really positive name.
And you recently travelled to Gibraltar. That was for the Netball European Championship. How did it go, Sarah?
It was a fantastic experience. I think as a squad, it was a first for a lot of us to be on the court in that environment. But an amazing experience. I'd like to say that as it was our first outing, we were exceptionally proud and honoured to represent the UAE, but also very proud of the result. But I think, yeah, it's set a new target for next year in that we will.
Oh, really?
Yes. We've definitely learned a lot from going to the tournament this year. So I think they've, the teams should be worried with us returning.
And you brought home the bronze.
We did, yes.
Really significant.
Yeah. And at the training at the weekend, we were reviewing everything that had gone on over the tournament. And there's lots of positives to take away, lots of things I think that we can work on. So therefore, gives us a really strong pathway for the next tournament.
And what I loved about you taking part in that was the amount of support you were getting from the UAE as well. People watching it through Facebook and YouTube, and, you know, families and their daughters who play netball getting involved and watching their teachers and their coaches on
Absolutely.
The court. Because it's all very well, and I used to be the same with, you know, we had a cross-country running coach called Mr. Graham, and he used to make us run around, you know, horrible fields in rural England, and he couldn't run a bath. This guy was just appalling. But I think it's something so inspiring about teachers who really are kind of living what they're teaching the kids. So to be able to literally see your teacher on the court carrying out what they're coaching and teaching to the students, That's really special.
Yeah. I mean, it's a massive part as a PE teacher, and it's something I've wanted to do since I was little. The role model element of it is so important. It's great to stand there and dish out instructions, but actually to be able to for your students to see that. And I think there was six of us as part of the squad that are actually PE teachers across all the schools here in Dubai. So the following was massive on YouTube to have students across all those schools watching, and to show that it's possible. It's aspirational now. I think that's what we've given, and not just for the expat community. It's aspirational. I mean, I visited Al Ain just before the tournament to work with some of the Emirati ladies out there, and they were watching the footage. I showed them the footage of the previous tournament that the girls had travelled to, and it was the first experience of viewing netball.
Ever.
Wow. And we'd gone through a game with them, so they'd played a little bit. So for them to then watch the streaming while we were away was amazing. And the fact they could actually identify people that they'd met on our netball day, and they keep asking, when are we coming back? When are we going to learn some more? When are we going to get to play again?
That's amazing. When we come back, we're going to be talking about Sarah. And while aside from sport, she truly is a role model. I'm Helen Farmer. This is Dubai Today. We are talking about the sport of netball, hugely popular here in the UAE and also in Commonwealth countries around the world, with 20 million people playing globally. And we're lucky enough to be joined by two really amazing and inspirational women in the sport regionally. Suzanne Skelding is here. She's the UAE National Squad Manager and Director of Netball at RU Active. And Sarah Donovan joins us. She's a squad member of the UAE Open Squad and the head of netball at Dubai College. We've just been talking about taking bronze in Gibraltar at the European Championship. So congratulations again. Now, Sarah, now you stood out for a couple of reasons on the court. Not only your amazing playing, but you're wearing a headscarf. You're currently undergoing treatment for breast cancer. And that you are playing in championships on a national level. You know that's quite exceptional.
For me, it was carrying on as normal. Mm-hmm. I think, but yes, I think I'd started off with what I'd classed as very low profile, and had kept it very quiet.
And here you are on the radio talking about
it. Now I'm here on the radio talking about it. Yes, so I've done 360.
Tell us about your diagnosis.
Well, I guess it's probably the same story as many others. I was away on summer vacation. In the usual holiday spots, noticed that something had changed, but did the typical thing where I kind of ignored it for a little while, thinking it may come, it may go. Mm-hmm. And I think come round to October, the drive with the breast care, the free mammogram and ultrasound that was being offered as part of the October breast care month, encouraged me to go in, see the GP, and was pushed through the process. And yes, sadly, or as it is, it was December the 13th.
Just last year.
Yes, I had the phone call back to say that I had, from the biopsy, had been diagnosed with cancer. From that moment onwards then, everything sort of focus-wise changed. And I was going through the process then over that vacation period.
Oh yeah, Merry Christmas.
Yeah, so but again, between myself and my very 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 best friend, we sort of were working through it together. I didn't want to ring home and be alarmist. I wanted to know all the information, wanted to get everything. So a whole week of testing leading up to the Christmas vacation, and then met with the surgeon and the oncologist just into the new year with all that information to be told that not just one type but two types of breast cancer had been found. On 9th of January I started my chemotherapy.
And what was your initial reaction to this?
Well, ridiculously, but probably not. I think based on myself, the first thing I said to the surgeon was, I've just been selected for the UAE national team. How can you fit this in around it?
Do you have a colleague in Gibraltar that I could go and see?
I was very determined that it wasn't going to define who I was and how I was going to move forward. So every question I asked was, yes, it was health driven and I wanted to make sure I was going to be okay, but I wanted to know how it was going to fit with work, how I was going to carry on playing netball and how I could pursue the selection for Gibraltar in May.
And there you were just a few weeks ago.
And there I was, yes.
Playing at an international level. I mean, truly, truly amazing. How have you been feeling through your treatment so far?
Pretty good, actually. I think the effects have been cumulative. As I was just saying to you guys, the effects have been slightly more now. I mean, I'm sort of 19th week, mm-hmm. And had my last chemo last week. So the 19th week now rolling through, I've got slight numbness in my fingers and my toes, feeling a little bit more tired. My sleep is a little bit more disturbed than it was. Doesn't help that we're hitting 40 degrees here, mm-hmm. so it's playing with me a little bit. But all in all, actually, I think I've been very fortunate. I think my level of health, my level of fitness going into this may have played a large part in the fact that I haven't had, I think, what people would normally assume is the route that chemotherapy takes you down, not being able to get out of bed, being sick day in, day out, not being able to work. And I've really been positive and driven forward that's not how I wanted it to be.
But as you said, being physically strong and mentally strong, it's not to be underestimated when it comes to going through that kind of treatment. So what's next in terms of treatment for you, Sarah?
So the sort of D-Day for the next stage is next week. I'm going in for surgery. So I will have the cancer removed. And from that point onwards, then it'll be radiotherapy straight after. And then a level of reconstruction that will come building through to sort of September time. And fingers crossed, once everything's been reviewed and looked at from the surgery, I will be back to my normal self again.
It sounds like you've been very much your normal self through this so far, as close as you could, to be continuing training and playing.
Yeah, I mean, I had the first treatment on the 9th, and we had our very first training session, wasn't it, the 13th or
yeah,
something?
We did.
So nobody knew. I'd spoken to the director of sport at Dubai College and Mr. Andy Jones, and had a conversation with him about the fact that I wanted to experience that first week myself to see how things were without having to deal with lots of questions and things. So mm-hmm. we were back at school for a couple of days. And without wishing to lie to anybody, I kind of took the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday off school and went and had the port fitted and went and had that first treatment, which kind of fed nicely into the weekend because one of the coaches, Deb Jones, is the assistant principal at school. So it meant that everybody knew I'd had a few days off. So when I went to the training session at the weekend, first thing that Deb said to me when I walked in, she went, "Take it easy. I know you've had a couple of days not feeling too well." And I was like, okay, great. This is working well.
Got no idea.
Went through the training session feeling a little bit out of body experience.
Had a nice new haircut.
I trimmed. I bobbed my hair just to give myself to make it less obvious.
Yeah,
ease into it. So I'd had I had the bob, and then we arrived to have photos taken, which was a bit of a shock to start off with. But yeah, got to the end of the training session and pulled the two coaches, Liv and Deb, to one side and said, "This is the situation." And the pair of them just said, "I can't believe you've just done like 2.5 hours of training." Wow. And it's kind of continued from there, hasn't it? As a sense of,
absolutely,
I've been to each training session and can taken part in everything that the squad has done.
Really taken part, not just pretending or just a little bit or not even sitting out. Just
all
literally
in.
Taking part. Yeah, just amazing. Truly amazing.
I've been really, really pleased that I haven't been in a position where I've had to say to the girls, "I understand that I have to step away from it." Mm-hmm. And that was my fear all the way through, that target, that thing I was driving towards, was going to be removed, not because of anything else, that I just physically couldn't do it. And I've been really fortunate that's not been the case.
Well, huge congratulations to you for everything that's been achieved so far. And when we come back, we're going to be examining why women and why girls really aren't sticking with sports and why we do need some more female role models. We're talking about netball here on Dubai Today. And I'm joined in the studio by Sarah Donovan, who's a member of the UA Open squad, and she's the head of netball at Dubai College. And Suzanne Skelding also joins us, the UA national squad manager and director of netball at RU Active. Now, I confess to you, ladies, that I played netball through school, wing attack, played county level, thank you very much, and then got to university and stopped. Why do you think that happens with so many people? And it wasn't the social side, before you look at me like that.
No, it wouldn't, because netball social side is huge.
I know, Wednesday nights at university is fantastic. But for me, it was feeling like I was a pretty decent player and then getting to university and suddenly everybody was really good.
And that's a real shame, isn't it?
Because it is.
And I think that's something that is is quite different here, in as much as we've made a lot, for a small country, we're putting a lot of emphasis on netball for everyone. And there's a major campaign called Wake Up Netball at the moment that was started out in Australia. And it's really just to say to everybody, you can play netball. There's walking netball. We've got five-year-olds playing netball. You know, mums playing netball. People who haven't played netball like yourself since they were at school and didn't maybe play.
20 years?
Yeah. And
oh, my goodness.
I've been involved in netball all my life, and I've made it my job. So you can be involved in netball in any way, shape or form. You don't have to be a great player to be involved in netball.
I felt like that, though. I felt like there was a bit of judging and a bit of, you know, yeah,
and you're probably right. It probably was like that. And, you know, and you're going to get that in any kind of sport. But it's the important thing is to know that there are options and alternatives. And, you know, what do you think, Sarah?
Yeah, I mean, I think from a teaching point of view, I think the expectation is that the older you get, the more competitive it should be. And that's not the case at all. I mean, we've constantly making changes within our environment and the PE environment to make it more, to drop the barriers. So when they say it's about what we were wearing and what we, you know, it, so we say, okay, you can wear anything, come comfortable.
Let's take that barrier away.
We don't want to perform in front of large groups. Fine, okay, so you can move into a sports hall, or you can have a league that is more socially based, or you know, put it into a scenario where the environment fits the group of people that want to play. And it's constantly an issue for PE teachers. As girls get older, they move away. But then everybody joins a gym. And I just think
so true.
Everybody joins a gym. But that environment, I think, more than ever is frightening. You know,
that
when
isolating.
People are in there and isolate, yeah, because you are by yourself. You are near equipment that you perhaps don't know how to use. Whereas netball is a very welcoming community at whatever level, at whatever speed you want to play, whatever your knowledge level is. And again, I think Suzanne's right. The social element, especially here, is massive. If you've arrived and you're not in a job such as teaching, because teachers as a group seem to pull together and do lots of stuff, but if you've gone into an office job, you know, to make friends here, if you've just arrived, netball's a great way of getting yourself in and knowing the people in the community.
And going back to girls, studies have shown that girls as young as 7 have said that they feel self-conscious about doing sport. But interestingly, statistically, we should be keep on doing it. 96% of female C-suite executives, so, you know, CEOs, your CFOs, your COOs, participated in sports as teenagers, according to a study by Ernst & Young. And this is, you know, Hillary Clinton played soccer, tennis, netball, softball. And interestingly, according to Gatorade, they did a study called Girls in Sport. Girls are dropping out of sport at 1.5 times the rate that boys do by age 14. And by age 17, more than half of girls will stop playing sports altogether. Which, and as you said, then we go back and we're punishing ourselves in the gym and really not enjoying it. What is it about team sports that you think is really good for the soul?
Just that camaraderie, I think,
yeah,
really.
Absolutely.
Having a sense of belonging. Really a sense of belonging, and being able to have a really good laugh with people that that have your back. I kind of get that feeling, the whole community, everybody's, oh, you know, you play netball, oh, that's great, yeah, let's do this together, let's do that together. I think going back to the national squad thing, it just highlights the sport of netball and makes more, and has actually made more people think about it, whether they're watching it with their children or with their friends. And that has happened a lot, hasn't it, since we've been away to Gibraltar. So you've got to have people that are out there promoting your sport and finding different ways for you to get involved. But and I think that's a major way of people not dropping off from the sport.
Well, I think it's the age-old issue, is you turn on your television and what do you see? You see male sports.
Absolutely.
So, you know, the thing that's really highlighted for us being away at this competition is that the conversation in Dubai, in Abu Dhabi, across the Emirates now, is about netball. And it never had been, because they didn't have a name, they didn't have a face, they didn't have somebody to aspire to. And now they can pick people out on from watching back the YouTube footage, and they can talk about positions. And we've had a lot of people who've been sofa coaches over the last...
Haven't we just?
Yes. and it's brilliant that netball's being talked about. But I think as a female, that was always the struggle, is that your aspirations were lacking.
The role models, the women just aren't being represented in the way that they should be. Now, interestingly, we were thinking about other sports before the show today, and we put female cricket players into our search engine. And the first headline that came up was, who are the most beautiful female cricket players?
Ouch.
How disappointing. So here is a fact about a female cricket player in the world that doesn't involve her looks. Mithali Raj is captain of the Indian women's cricket team and is the only player, male or female, to have captained India in more than one ICC ODI World Cup final. That's in 2005 and 2017. But what's interesting is we simply don't seem to be reading much about female sports at the moment. Obviously, you guys really coming to the fore in terms of netball regionally. But, you know, here's a thought for you. So in New Zealand, the rugby, the men's national team is All Blacks. Women's national team, you might know this, actually. Black Ferns. Because it's also the same name as the netball team, right? Is that correct? Just get me in my factoids this morning. We've got some questions coming in for you guys on the text line. If you want to join the conversation, we'd love to hear your thoughts. One message here, no name listen, saying, amazing story of bravery. My daughter and I watched the UA netball team and loved it. Please ask the ladies what they think of the comparative level of ability here compared to other parts of the world. How do we stack up?
That's a great question. And we didn't know until we went out there, to be perfectly honest with you. And one of the aims of going out with an open squad is to obtain a world ranking for the UAE. We faced up to four different countries. And we actually were out there at the top. We were on level pegging with second, third, and fourth. There were five countries, weren't there? So we, points-wise, we were right up there. And we know some of the mistakes that we made. We know that as a first international competition, they are the reason that we made those mistakes. Here in this country, we play our netball over four quarters of 12 minutes, whereas an official international game is four lots of 15 minutes. Our team were incredibly fit, I think probably the fittest, but we just didn't have enough experience and time to play together.
And that's exactly it. You know, you're up against teams that are really well established, have been playing themselves and as within the country for much, much longer than the UA has, and also playing together as individuals in a team much longer than you guys had. So, as you said, Sarah, next year, better watch themselves.
Yes, absolutely.
I think we're aiming for top 20 in the next 3 years.
Yeah, I think, and that's...
I think that's realistic.
Lower.
A question here, harking back to my point about the catty side, saying, hi there, I personally love netball here and join some social nights, but do find that netball gets catty and some cliques bully less able girls. What are the panel's thoughts on this?
I think that wherever you have a large group of women, you're always going to get an element of that. And I just don't think that we can take that away completely. What we can do is create lots of different environments for people to play netball, lots of different levels of play and lots of different kinds of games. So netball is great. It's got variations, as other sports do as well. So you
play... What would the variations be for me, a knackered man with a really sore knee who hasn't played netball in 20 years?
You can go to walking netball now. And that's something you could do. But, you know, even the social netball has lots of different rungs. And it's a bit of trial and error. I'm not going to lie. You have to go out there. You have to put yourself out there and you have to put your big girl pants on and just have a go, and you will find your tribe, you'll find your crew, you'll find the people that are there for you, and you'll enjoy it for sure.
So it's about kind of finding where you fit in. I mean, it would be wrong for me to go, right, amazing, let's turn up to the next, you know, people who've been playing since they were 12. I wouldn't feel comfortable doing that, and it wouldn't be the right place for me. But you feel there are definitely environments for all different levels.
Yeah, absolutely.
And right the way across the age groups as well as the experience levels.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the, I wouldn't mind saying, some of the vets teams that we play against may not necessarily be the fittest anymore, may not necessarily be the quickest anymore, but my goodness, the level of experience they have, they don't have to run very fast, but they could outplay somebody as a 16, 17-year-old purely based on the knowledge that they have. So, the game itself lends beautifully to all sorts of abilities because you can pick your position. So if you are somebody who isn't going to run around a lot, brilliant. You sit back in the
goal
I wouldn't say goal
no
defense.
Offense, goalkeeper.
But goalkeeper. And
you're not going to be a centre if you're...
Yeah. And again, before I get criticised, those goal shooter and goalkeeper here, the two of us are in our little sector at the back. But yeah, it means that for us, it's an individual skill set. Mm-hmm. So rather than being the fastest or the fittest, I can take the fact that the accuracy and the my skills fit perfectly to that position. Whereas if you take it to some other sports where everybody's running up and down the entire time, you can feel isolated and one person can take over the game. Mm-hmm. But actually netball, you have to play as a team. You have to work together.
We're talking sport here on Dubai Today, specifically women in sport and netball. In the ranking of the 100 highest paid athletes, there is just one woman, tennis star Serena Williams. And the UN women's statistics show that a striking 49% of girls drop out of sport by the time they reach puberty. And this has obviously had ramifications when it comes to professional and elite training later in life. When it comes to cash, it gets even more depressing. Former England captain Wayne Rooney took home a massive $400,000 a week. The wages of his female counterpart, Steph Horton, around $1,600. Bad times. We are joined in the studio this afternoon by two really important women when it comes to UAE netball. Sarah Donovan is here, part of the UAE squad, and we've got Suzanne Skelton here as well, who's the manager of that squad. So we are talking netball and girls in sport. I'm going to play you a clip, lady. This is a Nike ad to get you and your girls a bit fired up.
When I was growing up, girls just didn't run in public.
No one on my all-boys team would pass to me.
Dad told me I couldn't be a boxer. He said I was too small.
There was a guy who tried to spit on me and then push me out of his way.
There comes a point where you have to be sure of yourself. People aren't used to women being so passionate. It scares them.
One day, I just said it doesn't matter what other people think.
I'm a fashion model who can dunk.
I'm a girl. That doesn't mean I have to wear a skirt.
Doesn't mean I can't get all fired up. They used to say that girl is crazy.
But then I just kept winning.
I didn't set out to dominate. I just did.
Somebody's got to be the best. So why not me?
I'm 55 years old and I run close to 70 miles a week.
I never felt like quitting.
There's something telling me to do it every single day. Just want to play ball.
I am Cappy Pondexter.
Diana Taurasi.
Sherry Nelson.
I'm Peekaboo Street.
And I got something to say.
Female athletes have to overcome the bias that their game isn't as good as the men's game.
Are boys bigger, stronger, faster? Yes. Is that all that has to do with being an athlete? No.
The halfpipe doesn't care that I'm a girl.
I want to pitch for the Boston Red Sox.
And when I look in the mirror, I see an athlete.
I am a runner.
A snowboarder.
Ball player.
Triathlete.
Softball player.
I am an athlete.
And I'm proud of that athlete.
It's not a girl thing. It's not a boy thing. It's a skills thing.
It's a skills thing. Nike advert there shouting about the girls in sport. And what's interesting, they're talking about kind of overcoming that bias. In some sports, that's absolutely not the case. Actually, in the US, female soccer is way more popular than it is in men's. And while the earnings of female sports stars compared to their male counterparts are reflected in the interest, this isn't true in the case of USA women's football. They won the last World Cup in 2015, and the US viewers for the final were 23.6 million people, only 3 million less than the men's final. And the top goal-scoring woman in the Women's World Cup was Brazil's Marta Vieira da Silva with 15 goals. That's the same number of goals in the FIFA competition as Brazil's Ronaldo, making them joint second place overall. Yay. As I said, we are joined this afternoon by Suzanne Skelding. She is the UA National Squad Manager and Director of Netball at RU Active. And Sarah Donovan joins us, UA Open Squad Player and the Head of Netball at Dubai College. So ladies, what do you think does the future holds for UA Netball? How are you getting girls and women from all different backgrounds involved?
That's a great question, and it really is about the different backgrounds, and we're hoping that Sarah's story really is going to be inspirational, that nothing can stand in your way, and there are some cultural difficulties.
Not even breast cancer.
There are some cultural difficulties and barriers to sport. The Ministry of Education is one institution that has really taken this up and really tried to improve their curriculum for sport for their girls, and they included netball for the very first time this year. They have a team of sports specialists that have gone into all the schools that are working as sports coordinators across a number of schools, and the UAE Netball Association, that means us pretty much. We're not a paid organisation, we're just a group of netball mad devotees, are going out and coaching and giving some time to these Emirati girls, and it's been phenomenal. Just netball, the word, just literally, when are you coming back? When are you going to do this again? When can we play? So obviously you do need money to be able to put a few bits and pieces in, some balls and a couple of posts, but it's not huge amounts of money. And that's the thing about netball, I think. It's not one of those sports that costs a lot of money. But our remit, and certainly our mission statement, wasn't, this is not about, I know that the decree has come out that says that expats can now represent their country. And that's a great thing, because this country is made up of great expatriate people. It's a big percentage. However, there are Emiratis that have barriers to sport. We're trying to break those down and offer a sport. It's a pretty unique sport because it is a female-only sport to the Emirati girls and women. So hopefully if they take up this sport, if we can coach them, we will encourage that participation. And you can participate as a country at various different levels, at various different competitions. So you don't have to always go to those top ranking games. We can go closer to other countries within the Gulf and play other Gulf teams. So it's something that it's just the beginning. The UAE is geographically fantastically placed to be a member of the International Netball Federation. The top teams are Australia, New Zealand, England, Jamaica. How better could we be to have something here? So not only do we want to bring it to those Emirati girls and get more people playing, not just expatriate girls, but we want to bring the sport here to the UAE. And that was one of the really exciting things that we were able to put in front of Emirates, our main sponsor. And they don't sponsor just anybody, but they were enlightened by this story and could see the passion and could see the bigger picture. And that's what I think is fantastic about netball.
And what about you, Sarah? What do you think the next couple of years are going to hold for you? You've obviously got more treatment and surgery coming up, and then back on court,
that's the idea. Yeah, and as Suzanne said, I think the legacy for us is very, very important. Mm-hmm. Not just from a playing perspective, but being able to feed back. As I said, 10 years that I've been here now, and not just experience Dubai, but being out in Al Ain and working in schools where the barriers were very obvious. As a PE teacher, we were meeting challenges with the students where the girls may have wanted to but had a restriction, and sometimes the girls didn't want to physically participate. But I think the more we can break those things down, the more we can offer the opportunity and the role models. If they can see the sport, if they can see that it's accessible to everybody, I think we can encourage more and more of them to play.
Fantastic. Ladies, thank you so much for joining us. For more information, guys, going to go over to the Are You Active website, Suzanne?
Yeah, the Are You Active website, and also the Netball UAE website, where that encompasses all netball activities throughout the UAE.
Brilliant. We'll be linking to those in the page as well. Sarah Donovan, Suzanne Skelding, thank you so much for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you very much.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.